Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new edition of Phillies Today right here with Francisco Rojas, Phillies 24/7 Sports Radio 94 WIP podcast. And I have some fun stuff for you today. A brand new segment that I've been thinking about for a while. But I was like, you know, we got to let the show marinate a little bit. Got to let it flow before we get to something like this. You know, kind of establish. I've been doing the show for like almost 2 years now, which is fun. It's fun. I've loved doing Phillies Today a couple of times a week. And now, you know, heading into the third spring trade, right? Third spring training I'll be able to do. Yeah. Well, technically, right? Yeah. That I'll be able to do the podcast in spring training closer and closer. January 16th, just about five weeks away. Exciting. But we're going to do a mailbag today through a mailbag out on social media. We are going to answer your questions in just a little bit. We'll get to an update on the Hall of Fame ballot tracker as far as who could, you know, what former Phillies could be in the Hall of Fame? That's Tuesday, right? The 22nd? We're going to know. So we'll get to that in a little bit around MLB later. We will introduce that. So we'll start with some news and notes. The Phillies invited their top three prospects to big league camp. They announced that they had 23 non-roster invitees to spring training a couple of days ago. And it included, of course, three of those top prospects. And you know them. Shortstop, Aiden Miller. Right-hander, Andrew Painter. And outfielder, Justin Crawford. And that's super exciting. Excited for all three of the Phils top three prospects there to, you know, see what... It doesn't look like Painter's going to throw this spring training, or he's not going to pitch in any games, but he will throw to a certain extent. And because Dombrowski said they have a program that they want to ease him into this year, which totally makes sense. So you want to be careful with Painter, but they will have Painter, Miller, and I'm excited to see what Aiden Miller. I'm excited to see all three of those guys, but especially Aiden Miller because he hasn't been invited to big league camp, right? The last couple of years. So This is his first time, I'm pretty sure. So we're going to have Miller, Painter, and the son of Carl Crawford, Justin Crawford, who looks like he's probably about a year or two away, but never know with the progress he can make and Philly center field potential issues. Who knows? So Justin Crawford, Aiden Miller, Andrew Painter, all being invited to big league camp. Another piece of news. There was the news that the Baltimore Orioles had a deal in place with Jeff Hoffman before a physical revealed something about his right shoulder. And I think Hoffman's had some injury issues in the past, like with Cincinnati. I think he had some right shoulder problems. Maybe even in Colorado, I'm not sure. But I know he's had some injury stints, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years back. And, you know, there's the deal with Baltimore. And now it has come out per MLB.com's Mark Bowman that the Atlanta Braves, he was potentially going to stay in the division. The Atlanta Braves had a deal in place for Jeff Hoffman. It was about a 5-year deal, 5 years, around $45 to $48 million a year. I mean, what's he getting AAV wise with the Blue Jays? What's 3 years, 33, so 11. That would have been about nine for a pretty solid. That would have been a pretty solid deal for him as far as years go. But it looks like the Braves backed out of it, I believe. Yeah. And it says the according to Phillies Nation, Destiny Legardo, the contract was scrapped after Hoffman failed a physical with the Braves medical staff. So, yeah, Hoffman looks like he could have been in the division. So I thought that was pretty interesting that one of the best relievers in baseball that was on the Phillies last couple of years could have potentially stayed in the division. How interesting would that have been? But Hoffman ends up signing a 3-year deal with the Blue Jays. Last thing from news and notes, Zach Wheeler, I mean, we all know that he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, but MLB Network just have been doing their top 10 lists, and recently, within the last couple of days, just came out with their top 10 starting pitchers in baseball right now. Zach Wheeler landed at number one. Rest of the top 10 was Tarek Skubal, who just won the Cy Young in the American League. Chris Sale just won the Cy Young in the National League. Paul Skeens, Blake Snell, Corbin Burns, Cole Reagans, Garrett Cole, Logan Webb, and Framber Valdez. One thing I'll say is, I guess, you know, Cole was hurt last year, so he missed some time. But Cole's still like up there to me. It's too much of a track record to not be a little higher up there. But that is your top 10 list. And Zach Wheeler recognized as the number one pitcher in baseball according to MLB Network's top 10 list. All right, let's do it. Phillies Today mailbag with yours truly, Francisco Rojas. And put the mailbag out on all social media. I put it out on Twitter. I put it out on my Instagram story. So I decided to take three of the best questions that I thought were the best questions that I got on social media. I'm going to read them, going to respond to them, give you know a short-ish answer here on each one. So I'm going to try to do this more often. Maybe we could do this like once a month. I think that would be like a pretty good, maybe it could be like an end of the month thing, depending. But deciding to do this for the first time, Phillies Today mailbag. So question number one, and this comes from Josh on Instagram. Josh, thank you for asking a question. He said, should we be concerned about the center field position? I'm not sure I feel comfortable with Marsh and Rojas potentially platooning. Now, Fangraphs, and Josh, thank you for the question. Fangraphs has right now Max Kepler playing left field, Castellanos in right, and Brandon Marsh, the starting center fielder. Now, this is just Fangraphs' projected roster. And then there's Johan Rojas on the bench. And I think there are some people that just get excited about Justin Crawford and mention, oh, what about like Crawford? I think like Crawford's not there yet. Crawford's like a couple of years away. And I'm excited about Justin Crawford too. I think the kid has a lot of potential, like all around game, like incredible. I think it was the Futures game last year where you saw him steal a couple of bases and make a diving catch. Like you can see what he can do, driving a run. Crawford's not there. Look, it is somewhat of a concern. I'm not going to lie. Defensively, it's not a concern. Like defensively, they're out in the center field. They're more than fine. But offensively, man, like I want to give Johan Rojas a chance, but I've not really seen anything, especially like this year. Yeah, he did in his rookie year, but this year was not a good follow up. And in 2024, and Marsh cannot hit lefties. I wonder if at the deadline they look to add somebody. That's what my thought would be. You know, maybe they're going to give Marsh and Rojas a chance here to start the year, first couple of months. See if Marsh can make any improvements against lefties, or maybe Rojas makes any improvements at the plate. So I think that's pretty much my answer. I wouldn't say I'm super concerned about it. I think it's more about like, look, they have other parts of their lineups. Look, Marsh can still hit righties, and Marsh can, you know, get hot when he gets hot. And, you know, the lineup's still good to me. The lineup's still very good. So I'm not, like, super concerned about the center field position. It was a concern for people heading into last year, right? Like whatever. The nine hole, like, who cares? Like, but I still like the lineup top to bottom for the most part. You know, there's some holes there with potentially the center field position, but at the same time, I don't think it's as big of a deal as some people make it out to be. I still think, you know, the core parts of the lineup with Schwarber, Harper, JT, Boomer, Trey, like those parts of the lineup are what's important, not who's hitting in the nine hole potentially. So thank you, Josh, for the question. All right, next one. This one is from Casey on Instagram. Is Dave Dombrowski going to make any more moves to shore up the back end of the bullpen? Not sure I feel comfortable with how it is slated right now. And thank you, Casey, for the question. Look, I talked about this on, you know, one of the last episodes that I did here for the channel. Like, I like the bullpen. I don't love it. Like, I loved the bullpen throughout. I mean, obviously, we all loved the bullpen, you know, for the most part of the year last year, because they were just, you know, Hoffman was so good and Strom was incredible, and Kirkering had a bit of a, you know, had a really good year. I think it has potential. I think there's a lot that banks on Romano coming back and being healthy and being the pitcher he was in Toronto, you know, a couple of years back. And I think it banks on Jose Alvarado, whether Alvarado can be consistent and can stay healthy, because those are a couple of problems that Alvarado's had. Now, Alvarado last year was just not, you know, he was inconsistent. It was super inconsistent. I remember around, I think it was the London series where that's where Alvarado kind of started to not look like himself. And
can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Need Alvarado to get back to being like second half of 2022 Alvarado and 2023 Jose Alvarado. That's what we need. So, and I don't think, I'm not like down in the dumps about that. I'm kind of 50-50 on Alvarado. I'm okay with the bullpen. I don't think it's not going to be what it was last year. I don't think. And then you got to bank on Strom to have a big year too again, right? Because last year it was just disgusting. I like the bullpen. Don't love it. I think it has potential. I think if you can get those back four right there, Alvarado, Kirkering, Strom, and Romano, to all be just good at the very least, that's a really good bullpen, I think. And I still think you could make moves here. I talked about it in the last pod. Like, Minter, Tanner Scott, like there are still guys out there that you could go get. Kirby Yates, like there are still guys that you could potentially make moves for. I'm 50-50 on whether I think Dombrowski is actually going to make any more moves. I still think that I would like them to make another move to shore up the back end. So Casey, I'm with you. I'm not like super uncomfortable, but I'm with you. I would like the back end of the bullpen to be short up just a little more. Last question here from the first mailbag edition with Francisco Rojas here on Phillies Today. This one is from Kent on Instagram as well. He asked, is there a world where the Phillies don't make the playoffs this year? The Mets signed Soto, re-signed Minaya, and the Braves still have a talented roster. And also, the NL West looks pretty formidable. If the Padres sign Sasaki, that could make that division loaded across the board between LA, San Diego, and Arizona. Kent, this is a good question. Now, I think it is more likely than not that the Phillies make the playoffs. I still think they are better than both the Braves and the Mets. I don't think it's by a huge margin. I think now the Mets, we could have a different conversation, but say they sign Alonso, but still at the end of the day, I don't know how much I love their rotation. Now they did bring back Minaya, and we'll see if Minaya can do what he, duplicate what he did with the Mets this year. I still like the Phillies better than more than the Mets right now. I think the Soto deal is obviously huge for them, and they do have a very good lineup still. But I think the Mets, would like to potentially add Alonso back. Who knows what they're actually going to... We're actually going to get into that in the news and notes here from around MLB. Who knows if they re-sign Alonso. But I don't know if... I still think I like the Phils more than I like the Braves and the Mets. And I think that's enough for them to make the playoffs. Now, is there a world where they don't win the NL East? Like, sure. Sure. I mean, like, the Braves, unfortunately, had a bunch of injuries last year. I mean, you take for granted, Phillies being able to stay healthy, winning close to, what do they win? 95 games last year, right? Yeah, 95. And take that stuff for granted. So, I mean, wouldn't want to wish that on the Phillies. We want to stay healthy as possible. But there's a world where, like, the Braves, that happened to them last year. And now, if the Braves stay healthy this year, Braves are still a really good team, man. Still have a loaded offense. Chris Sale coming off his Cy Young year, Reynaldo Lopez, see what they do with him. Spencer Schwellenbach's got a lot of potential there, and they still have a good bullpen. Like, the Braves are still a very good roster, very good, talented roster. And the NL West, as far as the NL West is concerned, so I don't think... Yeah, it's interesting. It is an interesting question, because maybe... don't win the NL East, then you're in a kind of a dogfight with teams over there in the NL West. Like, the Dodgers, we already know what the Dodgers are. The Padres, Now, I think the Padres are interesting because if the Padres sign Sasaki, not to say Sasaki will off the bat be like a great pitcher. Now, he has obviously has a ton of potential, and you see what he did in Japan, you know, thus far in his young baseball career. San Diego is an interesting one. San Diego's still a good team. They took the Dodgers to 5 games last year, you know, in that NLDS, and the Padres are still good. And if they add Sasaki, I mean, that could really spice things up there. And Arizona, deals that they made this offseason, think about it. I mean, you know, signed Corbin Burns. I mean, that makes their rotation really, like, really formidable. It's Burns, Gallen, Kelly. You know, you got three other ones there. And Eduardo Rodriguez, Brandon Pfaadt, and Jordan Montgomery, who potentially could, yeah, it could be a good rotation. And then look at their lineup. Their lineup was, what, number one in baseball last year in runs scored? Like, Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, and they traded for Josh Naylor. I know they don't have Christian Walker anymore, but still, like, good team. Like, good team. Not sure how I feel about their bullpen, but good team and, you know, formidable rotation now. So, D-backs, that's an interesting one too. So, like, I think you got two, like, loaded divisions there, like, potentially in the NL East and the NL West. So, I don't know, man. Like, do the Phillies have to win the division? That's another good question too. Like, do the Phillies have to win the division to feel like good about making the playoffs? Like, I don't know, man. There are six teams there that could, and then one or two teams that obviously, like, you know, a couple of teams have to miss the playoffs there that have potential. But I still think I like the Phillies the most. I did this, you know, recently on an episode talking about, you know, three team race there between the Phils, Mets, and the Braves. I still like the Phillies the most in the NL East. Still like them the most. So, Phils, and that is the first edition of the mailbag for Phillies today. So, appreciate Josh, Casey, and Kent on social media for getting your questions in. And again, going to try to do this maybe like once a month. I think once a month is a pretty good way to do it, I think, to start. And maybe we can maybe ramp it up a little bit. But I think for right now, I think once a month's good for the mailbag for Phillies today. All right, Hall of Fame ballot tracker update, because we are very, very, very close to the Hall of Fame election on Tuesday. Right now, looking at former Phils, and this is according to 151 public ballots, 41.1%. I thought Ryan Thibodeau said that they've gotten all the ballots that they can get submitted, so maybe this is all we're going to know to this point. I'm not really sure. But Billy Wagner, former Phil, 84.5%. Looks like he's expected to get in, probably. Chase Utley, almost 55%. Man, Chase is potentially doubling what he got in his first year. That's, man, Chase is going to be an interesting one moving forward. I mean, maybe he gets in sooner than later. Who knows? Not this year, but sooner than later. Bobby Abreu, almost at 25%. And then J-Roll at 19.3%. And again, this is just according to the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot tracker. This is not an end-all be-all. This isn't necessarily representation of what the results are going to look like on Tuesday, but that is what it is right now. Real quick around MLB before we get out of here. Roki Sasaki, just talked about him in the mailbag. The Dodgers met with him for a second meeting, I think it was, on Tuesday, and apparently they brought all of their quote-unquote stars out to talk to Roki Sasaki for a meeting to really try to get him to L.A. Look, if he goes to the Dodgers, it's truly like, I don't know, they're going to have like a 7-man rotation, potentially. What does that mean? I guess you can never have too much depth, but, I mean, that's like a loaded 7, I don't think I've ever seen that before. If that were to be so, 7-man rotation. But Dodgers met with him on Tuesday. It looks like his final three teams that he has narrowed it down to: the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, and the San Diego Padres. So Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays all looking at a shot to get the young star phenom out of Japan. Latest on Pete Alonso, said I would talk about him. So according to MLB.com, and also according to a New York Post report, the two sides still appear to be far apart on the financial details. Mets have shown they are still interested in re-signing Alonso to pair with superstar slugger Juan Soto in the middle of New York's lineup in 2025. But according to a report in New York Post, time is of the essence because the Mets want resolution in order to acquire other players prior to spring training, which is under a month away. So there, I mean, they want to get something done with Alonso, it looks like, ASAP, because if they don't sign Alonso or re-sign Alonso, they want to see what other options they have out there to potentially sign. So that's the latest on Pete Alonso. Last thing, it was international signing period yesterday. Athletics, this was pretty cool. Athletics make a record-setting deal. I mean, look at them. They've been spending a little money. I mean, it's getting a lot of hate. I mean, rightfully so, because the Athletics never spend money, but now they're spending a little money. Gave Brent Rooker that extension. Gave Severino that contract. But they gave a two-way player, Shotaro Mori, 18-year-old two-way player, a record-setting $1.5 million deal. Largest bonus ever for a Japanese amateur outside of Nippon Professional Baseball, according to Yaku Cosmopolitan. Great name, by the way. I love that. Yaku Cosmopolitan. That's a phenomenal name. But that is going to do it for Around MLB, and that will do it for Phillies Today with Francisco Rojas. Mailbag. Going to try to do this once a month. Twitter, Instagram. Going to put this out on all social media, so each mailbag, if you don't have Twitter, you know, you can ask a question on Instagram. If you don't have Instagram, you can ask a question on Twitter, but you can follow me on both places. Twitter at Rojas underscore media underscore, and then on Instagram at Francisco Rojas underscore. That will do it for me, Francisco, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.